Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Hump Day!
Oh, yeah.
Hump Day!
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Dustin the Great.
Woo-hoo!
That's right.
And Country.
Hump Day!
Yes. Welcome. We got a great show for you guys tonight. There's so much happening in the world around us, but also in the poker world as well. So we got lots of stuff to bring to you guys about that. One of the hottest topics on the market right now happens to be the World Series of Poker. So we're going to talk quite a bit about that and make sure we open the phone lines to see what you guys think about the World Series of Poker this year and what's going to happen in the fall and some of the new things that they've implemented. Plus, we have some great giveaways to give you guys as well throughout the show. I will say, sadly, in terms of news, one of the greatest disappointments, especially for us right here in Jacksonville, was the canceling of the World Poker Tour.
Yeah, postponement, just a postponement.
Postponing. But a lot of people have asked, you know, what's the reason for that? And what, you know, I believe somebody might even have been Alan Kessler that said, well, why play cash? What, like, why would you cancel an event? And I think that it's kind of important to just to elaborate on that a little bit. And one of those reasons is obviously to keep people safe from traveling. And two, to make sure that we keep our guests who play here on a regular basis, and this is their form of entertainment, we want to keep them as safe as possible. So any unnecessary reason to pack the room with people shoulder to shoulder could potentially create an outbreak that would affect our guests here and the health and the well-being of our staff as well. So I think that for those of you who are looking for a reason, that's, I think, is a pretty good one. So we want to make sure that you are all safe here playing and that you have the ability to continue to have some entertainment in this time when there's really not a lot of entertainment elsewhere, especially when it's 9 million degrees outside. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're just trying to keep safe and, keep the bus moving and keep the train rolling. And keep it safe for everybody so that, you know, when we can get back in action sooner and have big tournaments again soon.
Well, I just have one question. Is it a bus or a train?
It's a train.
It is a train.
It's a train.
It's a train.
Hopefully it's not a train wreck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
A train.
It's not goodbye. It's see you later.
Yeah.
It's not goodbye.
It's
not
a goodbye. Train for now, but if there's a problem, it's a bus because a bus wreck is probably less likely to
fair.
Be problematic.
Checks out.
Train so far, we're trying to keep it on the tracks.
Yes, exactly. So speaking, obviously, of the World Series, there is kind of a cool thing that happened. The World Series had their first online ring or circuit event happening in Pennsylvania. So there's been some cool things that have happened. And did you guys hear about this Flip and Go event?
Yeah,
I sort of did, and I think it is what I think it is.
It's well,
but I really didn't read into it.
So. In a nutshell, this is effectively what it is. And Dustin, you can elaborate if you know a little bit more. But it was kind of an interesting concept where there are 10 flip stages where each of the stages you're dealt three cards to start, right? Each player discards one of the cards prior to the flop happening. So it's like a crazy pineapple, right?
Oh, so there is a little bit of interaction.
There's a little bit of interaction, but
you have
once
to make
you've,
a choice.
Once you've made, well, and you would, well, I guess to be fair, you have to make a decision because if you don't make a decision, then technically speaking, there's no poker involved. It doesn't become a game of skill. You remove that entirely.
Right.
You have to make a decision. So you discard one of the cards, and then the board entirely runs out, and everybody's you're moved all in. So if you are in the hand, you discard, and you decide to discard one, and you stay, you're automatically moved all in. The board runs out, and then they run it down to X number of players. In this particular situation, they had 6,368 entries. They narrowed it down to 326 players that went to the quote-unquote go stage of the event. And then all of those players restarted with 40 big blinds.
And they actually played poker?
And then they actually play out the tournament in a standard no-limit hold'em format.
It's basically just like gamble to get your foot in the door, and then you play like a grown-up.
Like a banshee.
So, and there's no choice other than you have to discard, but you're automatically all in. It's not like you can fold.
There's no, right, there's no
action. It's not action. All in or fold. There's no action, right?
There's no action other than all. Your action is to either fold or to discard one card. That those are
but
your
no,
actions.
No, you can't fold.
I think you can fold. You just, right, Dustin, I think you can elect not to be in the hand pre-flop as long as you discard all three.
I'm not 100% positive.
I don't think so. I don't think you can elect to not play the hand.
Okay.
I don't know the answer. Somebody in the chat might know.
That's the flip portion.
641-1010 is a phone number. If you're familiar with this or maybe even played it. I mean, obviously, people travel around and like to play in these events. But it was a $200 buy-in price point.
You cannot fold.
You could not fold at all. So in those first 10 stages.
Correct.
So everybody discards one and then you're all in. Which is kind of weird because I don't know. I feel like
I think it's cool.
I knew you would like it. I knew Jesse would be into it.
I'm sorry. My brain is trying to configure like.
I'm assuming you're in the money when you start. Kevin, if you're still with us, can you confirm that one? If when you stop the flip portion and start to play regular poker. Are you in the money?
That's the go portion. The first part is the flip portion. The second part is the go portion.
So you flip to the money and then you go.
I think I did. I remember reading that. Once you get through the flip part, I think everyone's in the money.
Yeah, you're in the money at that point. But
I kind of like it.
The top prize was $117,000 and change. So that's not bad for a $200 tournament. Although it's a little bit weird because you're not really technically playing the tournament unless you get lucky in the first 10 rounds or the first 10
whatever,
flip and go rounds. But, it's just...
I'd play those all day long for $200 with 6,000 people.
You would play them all day long?
Yeah.
I feel like this is something that you could do. Is this a tournament that if people had interest, you could spread a best bet?
I'd have to check. I think with the discarding portion of it, I think so.
Yeah, you would have to discard.
Without discarding one card,
right, it just becomes luck.
I think so. You have to have some sort of decision.
Well, I really love that. I think it's kind of a lot of fun. I feel like it would be a tournament that a lot of people would have a good time with, and it might be something fun to kind of try.
It's like when they did the Mystery Bounty tournament 2 years ago. I didn't really think that would catch on, and now it's huge. People love it. This could be a whole new thing.
Really?
Yeah.
See, we're thinking about doing a Mystery Bounty tournament sometime this year.
You know, I think they're cool. They're starting to catch on. I saw they did one somewhere, I think the Venetian recently, and they...
And by Mystery Bounty, just for our listeners, that would be like, there's a bounty on X number of people or a bounty on everybody, and then you just randomly draw, and that's what bounty is that you collect, or is it predetermined?
No, it's... There's... Everybody is a bounty, but a very low amount. Sure. So in this case, they did a $1,500 buy-in. Everybody on day one, or $500 of everybody's $1,500 goes to the bounty portion. $1,000 goes to the prize pool. On day one, everybody's worth $100 bounty. And then day two, they have all this built up money. And then it's sort of a mystery bounty. They stagger the amounts from, you know, $50,000, $20,000, $10,000, and then a bunch of 1,000s and 500s. And then you randomly go pick a card. If you knock somebody out, you go take one of the cards. It's like a deal or no deal. I'll pick box number 47.
Yeah.
And you pick it, $500. Dang it.
Man. Or the 50K.
Or the 50K.
Yeah.
Ship it.
Yeah.
I want to be the guy that picks the 50K one.
Yeah. Well, I think we're gonna try one of those here probably this year sometime. You know, as we said, we had to postpone the World Poker Tour, unfortunately, that series. We will still do monthly tournaments. Not any big series, but we'll do some weekend events and some single-day events at Jacksonville and the Orange Park location just to keep tournaments alive and keep our players interested. They just won't be, you know, massive house packing fields. But they can still be good. I mean, we still have, you know.
So it sounds like what we're looking at in the future are flip and go events and mystery bounty.
Mystery bounty, flip and go. That's right.
Mystery bounty. The future of poker. It's here.
I feel like what if you put those two things together?
The mystery flip and go.
The mystery flip and go. The mystery bounty flip and go.
We'll just eliminate all the skill from the game.
Yeah.
I mean,
take it all out.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like we would get, you talk about bringing out the gambler in you.
Right.
I mean, all the degens from here to Timbuktu would be a best bet playing the mystery bounty flip and go event.
I like the flip and go. Can you re-enter a flip and go?
I don't know.
That's a good question. I can't imagine. It wouldn't work. I feel like it wouldn't work.
I don't think it would work.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be a single entry. So DraftKings buys an online gambling company for $1.56 billion.
Wow.
They have made an agreement to purchase the Golden Nugget Online Gaming for $1.56 million. The deal is an all-stock deal and gave the Boston-based DraftKings access to the company's database of more than 5 million gamblers.
Wow.
Crazy. So DraftKings is now going to be a casino, or will also have a casino, the Golden Nugget. I wonder how that, if it will change the face of their company.
Does that mean I'm going to get 10 emails a week now from DraftKings instead of Golden Nugget? They send me a dozen emails a week.
Well, if you're lucky, Dustin, maybe they'll offer to give you $10 in free slot play for your birthday, because I think the boss man got some very juicy deal from a casino that was being extremely generous
for his birthday. That's right.
Right? What was it like?
They took all this time to make this beautiful, elaborate email on with, you know, fancy writing and design and all these, you know, for you on your birthday, you deserve the best and this and that. We're going to give you a free $10.
That was very generous. That's an expensive promotion. Could you imagine everyone on the email list? They have to give $10 on their birthday.
$10.
You know what's funny about that?
I booked my hotel instantly.
They'd probably save a lot of money if they didn't have to pay that person to write that email.
Yeah, probably so.
I mean, it used to be the case where when, you know, we would get offers to go to Vegas, they were like, we're going to fly you on a private jet. we're gonna put you up in our hotel. We're going to give you $150 a day in slot play. Plus, we're going to feed you. I mean, we could go to Vegas and live like kings. And now they're like, bam, you get $10. That's it.
No, they're not sending the plane.
They're not giving you any room, meal vouchers.
No hotel room. Just come on in. $10.
You have to pay for your room key now, as it turns out.
Right.
Yeah, if you lose your room key, that'll be
an extra $10. You can use your $10 in free slot play to replace your room card.
Gross.
So Las Vegas has a big weekend coming up here. Start of the NFL season, right? They got
that's right.
The Raiders playing. Who do they play? I forget. But this is a big weekend or a big time in Vegas. And we were talking about what it looks like to travel during that time, and it happens to be it's the beginning of September, so it's right before the World Series, because the World Series starts the last day of September. And the rack rates for hotel rooms, if you're thinking about going to Vegas to participate or be part of this wonderful time of the NFL, you're looking at poker rates at Wynn were like $999.
$999 was the off-the-rack rate for the weekend, first weekend of NFL, yeah.
I mean, that's crazy to me.
And we thought people were canceling their trips to Vegas, but apparently not for the first weekend of the NFL. No, Raiders home game.
Raiders home. I mean, that is kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. Yeah, they obviously their first year was last year, but there were no fans.
If I can make a recommendation, I would say Airbnb it, because That'll probably work a little better.
$9.99. Wow.
$9.99. And that's for a poker rate.
Wow.
Imagine if you know nobody and you're just going on there to try to book a room because you want to go out as a big NFL fan and you want to be part of their history. And they're like, yeah, it's $2,000 to stay at Circus Circus. It's just terrible news. Terrible news.
What's the other one? The Hooters Casino? Yeah.
Or there's that one.
I've stayed at Hooters.
I have too.
This does not surprise me, you guys, at all. Not at all.
They have the buckets as light shades.
Yeah.
The beer buckets
are
the light shades in the hotel room, and everything is made out of that really cheap pine wood.
It's beautiful.
Even the hotel rooms.
I think I spent like $45 on my room, though.
And it smells like
it's $4,500
now. Michelob Ultra Light all over the floor.
Yeah. I slept in my shoes.
Smart.
Yeah.
That used to be the San Remo, in case anybody cares.
I've also stayed in. Mm-hmm. Did you sleep in your shoes?
At the San Remo?
Yeah.
No, it was nice.
I didn't ask you that.
I may have slept in my shoes.
Yeah, you probably did. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we got all things to talk about, all these controversial issues surrounding the World Series of Poker. Is the tournament, in fact, going to go off is one of the biggest questions, and if it does, some of the rules and protocols pertaining to COVID that have been put in place are causing quite a bit of ruckus. So we'll talk about that and more. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, talking all things poker. So the hot topic is the World Series of Poker. Of course, people are ready to get back into the shakes of, obviously, the World Series. This is a tremendous tournament. It was postponed this year. It was not played. Last year, they played online. Everything was moved to online, correct?
Right.
So last year, everything was online. This year, they postponed it, moved it to the fall. It's supposed to start September 31st and then run through mid-November with the main event starting in November, the first part of November. And, of course, with the pandemic kind of rearing its head again and all of us kind of back in these what used to be unfamiliar and are now more familiar territories, the question is, what's going to happen, if anything at all? There was a statement or a rule that was released in the last, I don't know, week maybe or less. I seem to have lost track of the time, but it's been pretty recent. And they were talking about what would happen in terms of if somebody is in a tournament and they test positive for COVID, because this is always a question, right? Like we saw this happen last year when they did the World Series and they had people come and gather. So it was online, and then they ended up playing down to the European-based and then the U.S.-based,
right.
And then they came back and this whole thing. And both times there was a situation where a player couldn't make it due to travel restrictions based on COVID, or they tested positive, or whatever the likes of it would have been. So obviously, as we talk about the World Series coming about and having, you know, hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of players traveling from all over the world, what does that look like? And one of the statements and rules that they released that's causing such a controversy is that if you test positive for COVID, or if you are within 6 feet of somebody for more than 15 minutes who has tested positive for COVID,
If you're either positive or contact traced,
thank you. That's what I was looking for. If you're contact traced, what happens, right? And so they have now released a statement that says if that's the case, you will be ejected from the tournament. Not only will you be ejected, but you will not receive any compensation. So there are several things that are around this, right? And I would love to hear what people think. Those of you who are poker players, and I'm sure many of you listening to the show are planning on either going to the World Series, or maybe you've changed your mind and you're not going to go at all. So 641-1010 is the phone number, 641-1010. We'll open up the phone lines for callers. You can also text us on the hotline at that exact same number. So 904-641-1010. If you just want to text, you don't feel like chatting with us, that's fine as well. So, Boss Man, at first glance, what do you feel about this?
Well, at first thought, I think it's a little bit too stringent for them to be able to, if they enforce that, they're going to be losing, a whole table here and there. And that's obviously not going to go well. I do know, I feel like there should be more to this than what was written. Like maybe if you're vaccinated and wearing a mask, and maybe it just doesn't count, right? If you're vaccinated and wearing a mask, but you're within 6 feet in 15 minutes, it's okay because you're vaccinated and have a mask on. They didn't say that. So maybe they don't even care whether you're vaccinated or have a mask on. I don't know. I feel like the rule is kind of, maybe it was written a little too fast.
I feel like there's information missing from the rule. I'll be honest with you.
There's too many.
There needs to be like some disclaimers.
There's too many questions, right? There's too many questions. So the rule is missing some things. But it basically does say if you test positive or around somebody who was positive, you can be removed from the tournament with no compensation. Now, they are going to have something, right? If you test positive at some point it's unclear to me. I've read a lot of stuff. Some people are saying they're going to be testing people every day, which seems a little excessive.
How?
I mean, that's not going to be possible.
The thing is, policing it, I feel like there's a couple of issues that create a problem, right? Like, A, how do you police this? Because, I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of people in one particular location. I mean, presumably, right? This is the way that it's been in the past. How do you, A, police that? And then, B, somebody brought up a good point, and I think it was the Boss Man. What happens if you have a staff member who tests positive, right?
Yeah, so what happens if you have a dealer who tests positive and goes to four different tables?
Right, or maybe even like eight different tables.
Yeah, curveball, like, super curveball.
Yeah, you can't, what are you going to eject, like if they're playing eight-handed, 64 players?
Right. Now, they already have a mask mandate in the state of Nevada currently. And Simajack said on Twitter that there's a big pool tournament and they made them all wear masks while they're playing pool at the Westgate Pool Tournament. So they already have a mask mandate. We can assume that that'll still be in place in October, but maybe not, right? We don't know. If they take the mask mandate off, I feel like things are going to be going in the positive direction. So maybe this won't be as big an issue. But they have to have some rule for what happens if somebody tests positive. They haven't said that they're requiring vaccinations for anybody. And they are Harrah's and Caesars. I don't know what their vaccination status is for the company. But, it's weird. I know that a lot of people have said rather than go play the first couple of events, they're going to at least wait and see what really happens.
So I'll be honest with you. I feel like that's kind of what I thought is like, you can just kind of see like how they go with the first few events or whatever. But I feel like the place where you're going to find, if you see trouble with this, it's going to be during the main event.
Yeah, the main event, because it draws in the biggest international crowd.
Correct. And that's, so you're not going to know until that event takes place, number one. But then also number two, like, I mean, you're talking about a 10K buy-in. So, like, are you willing to just kind of throw that? I mean, it's almost effectively like you're just rolling the dice because you have no idea. And, I mean, you can make the argument like you don't know. You could come in contact with somebody outside of the poker room and those types of things that could happen. But if you're ejected from the tournament by the World Series of Poker due to a contact trace from somebody that was at your table, I feel like you're kind of entering the realm of something entirely different.
Yeah, it's one thing if they eject you because you are positive, but another thing if they say, hey, you were too close to this guy and he's positive, so you're out.
And it was by no action of your own. Right.
Well, yeah. Here's the other thing.
And you're
thing.
Like, I'm vaccinated, I'm wearing a mask, a face shield, gloves.
Yeah, I'm wearing a hazmat suit.
I have a hazmat suit. Right.
I've been spraying Lysol on the people next to me. You know what I mean?
A right. guy talks, you just spray, you're all psh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing that I feel like, what happens with the chips?
Right.
I mean, they just keep taking everybody's chips out of play. I mean, that's a lot. Like, let's just say they have to DQ like 64 people. When you DQ one person from a tournament, it's like, okay, it happens so infrequently. Right. But if you're removing 64 players from a tournament, yeah, that is a tremendous amount of chips that are coming out of play.
If they have to remove 64 tables from a tournament, then they shouldn't be playing the tournament.
64 players, right.
I mean, if you have to remove multiple people from any tournament, then you just shouldn't be having the tournament.
But what would happen with the chips, right? They just come out of play. Doesn't that start to drastically change things?
Not really. It's like the person was never in the tournament.
It's as if they were just never there.
It doesn't affect it that much.
Depending on, do you feel like it leaves any angles or anything open for people to do weird, shady things by like removing and reintroducing chips?
Well, it will have an effect if it's late in the tournament and somebody has a massive chip lead.
Sure.
But for the most part, on average, it won't have much effect.
That would be very annoying to me too. Like lose, you know, almost all of your chips to some guy and then he gets his chips pulled out of play and they're just gone. You know,
yeah.
He's got all the later, chips. Oh, he's got COVID. That's real nice.
Yeah, all the chips are gone.
You're like short stacked, and you're like the guy who's the chip leader is immediately on your right. You know, you're coming back, and he's like super fish, and all of a sudden he just gets ejected, and all the chips come off.
Yeah,
and the whole dynamic changes.
I feel like a couple things. I feel like they need to rethink that rule and maybe rewrite it,
clarify it.
Yeah, why didn't they run it by us first?
They should have ran it by us.
Yeah, that was rude.
Jack, Effel, and Ty, I mean, we're at your disposal.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
Check with me before you guys start doing any of this wacky stuff.
We're here to help.
Before you guys start doing any of this wacky stuff.
And not only are we here to help, we want the tournament to be a success. We want people to go to Vegas and play in the World Series of Poker.
So speaking of which, as we've talked about this, are you guys still planning to send people?
We are not, unfortunately, due to the fact that we...
Yes, no.
Yeah, I was so excited, too, man. I was so excited to run. We had the tournaments all scheduled. They were all figured out and put on the calendar for September, but they have since been removed, sadly. We will run a $1,500 tournament in September instead of the satellite that we were going to run for the World Series of Poker. But, you know, in the same light of postponing the World Poker Tour and everything that's going on, we felt that it wouldn't be very nice to give somebody, winning something that forces them to travel. So,
And that makes perfect sense.
Sad as it is. I will say, you know, Matt Maddox, the president and CEO of Wynn, I may have the title wrong. He was working with the UNLV last year sometime, and he said the future, what we need to do is create a test that's a saliva test where you get your results in either, you know, from minutes up to just a couple hours, so that if you want to participate, you want to go to a show, you go in, you buy your tickets, you do everything, you spit in the cup, you get a text on your phone that says, you're in, show this at the door. Or, your money's been refunded and you cannot come in and go home and quarantine and never see us again.
I mean, the refunding of the money is the piece that's like,
right.
As long as that happens, you know.
That may be the future for, if anybody can figure out a test like that for large poker tournaments. Who knows?
GT Jack said something funny here. He said, so what if you hit the final two tables, a guy gets word that he's positive before he's notified, he gets moved to the other table to rebalance. Tournament's canceled.
Yeah, tournament's canceled. That's it. Okay, all of you guys.
Yeah, like everybody's been exposed to this one guy. They would just postpone it, and then everybody would have to come back and play. Or I guess, can they do that?
If they kicked
everybody else out, they would kind of have to technically end the tournament, right? In all fairness of the game. For the integrity of the game, it would be not fair to postpone it, right? And then it's just so strange.
Right. It's not fair to everybody. Well, I can't come back next. I mean, how long are they going to postpone it? A week? 2 weeks?
Yeah. 14 days at least, right?
10
like,
days.
I got to go home. I can't come back in 10 days.
I don't know. It's totally nuts. But so that's World Series stuff. Now, I know that this year is slated to be the TDA. Isn't that
it's
this
not
year?
Scheduled. It it's would be scheduled. Slated this okay. year, but I've heard no news of a TDA.
Okay. So that's not something that we're looking forward to at this point either. Well, it is all kind of up in the air and a mess. So we'll see what happens with the World Series of Poker. Obviously, we are going to follow it very closely. So apologies to all of you that had your hopes up. And we were all hoping to send some of you out to Vegas. But, you know, maybe it's for the best. And this is just the way that it's supposed to be. But I do believe that we have a hand that we might want to talk about when we come back. Also, did you guys know that Caesars is going to be selling one of its Las Vegas Strip properties by 22, by next year? I'll let you guess which one it is.
Ooh, I like this game.
Ooh, guessing game. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, more poker. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great. As promised, we have some wonderful things to give away to you guys tonight. In fact, a $50 tournament voucher. So let's go ahead and do that right now. $50 tournament vouchers are good for any of our tournaments. You can use them for a daily. You can use it towards a larger buy-in event. You can use it in a satellite. Any which way you choose, you can use it in Jacksonville or in Orange Park, and you can pick it up at either location. So we will take the fifth caller right now, 641-1010. 641-1010 will take the fifth caller, and you will win a $50 tournament voucher that you can use, presumably, for the $600 tournament this Saturday?
This Saturday, I believe, is...
This Saturday is the 400. This is the
400 this Saturday, 600 next Saturday, and 1,500 following Saturday.
So, see, we put plenty of awesome tournament stuff in there for you guys, even though that WPT has been postponed. So, as we were talking before the break, Caesars Entertainment is to sell off one of their Las Vegas Strip casino properties in 2022.
Is the Hooters a Caesars property? I feel like it's a Total Rewards. It's not?
It's not.
I'm saying
that would have been my guess.
I'm guessing Planet Hollywood.
Why do you, are you guessing that? Because they closed its poker room.
Yeah, just because it was on my mind. Well, I was gonna say like the Flamingo or something like that, but I feel like that's too close to the convention center over there, and they probably don't want to close it.
Well, so, let me tell you what they have. There's Harrah's, Bally's, Paris, Flamingo, the Cromwell, Caesar's Palace, Planet Hollywood, and the Link.
I'm going to say Bally's.
I'm going to stick with Planet Hollywood.
I'll tell you what. They haven't told us. So,
what a slow roll. What a slow roll.
I figured that slow roll was going to work really well into the hand you're about to share with us. So
yeah, you got
I
me.
Did tee it up. But what they did say is, so if you're guessing, it's pretty unlikely that it's the Link just because it's, I feel like...
Well, the Link and Harrah's, Flamingo or whatever, they're all kind of together right around that new convention center. So I don't know why they would sell those, even though those are super old.
Yeah.
And Paris is a kind of a high-dollar one for them, which maybe that makes it – maybe that's the one. Maybe it's Paris.
I feel like I'm going to go with the boss. I think it's going to be Planet Hollywood.
I'm going to say Bally's.
Like that might be one of the
I
ones.
Don't know anybody Bally's, that ever goes to Bally's, ever.
I used to go there for the buffet.
Yeah. that checks out.
They had a good buffet. It's a good lunch or buffet or breakfast buffet. I can't remember. But we used to go there for their buffet.
Well, Semajack says they've been trying to sell Planet Hollywood. They were trying to sell Planet Hollywood. That was like back in like 2019 or something, I think, when they merged with El Dorado Resorts.
No, that was just recently. Technically, El Dorado owns all of them.
2019 was pretty recent.
I guess it was pretty recent.
Yeah. Stall on top of each other. All right. So I know that Dustin has a fun, exciting hand. I know he had a couple of them, so I don't want to do any spoiler alerts, but throw one at us, Dustin.
Yeah, I've got one. We'll turn it into a poll. You guys can tell me what you guys would do on the river here. Your options are fold, call, go all in, right?
Go all in.
Yeah, sure. So the hand starts were about 1K effective three ways.
We're playing 2-5?
Playing 2-5, about 1K effective. We get dealt pocket kings under the gun.
Okay.
So we open to 25 with pocket kings. We get called by a player who's on the tighter side, who's also a thinking player. He's I would say he's good. And then the maniac is in the big blind, and the maniac comes along. Obviously, you could make an argument for maybe we should have sized up pre-flop since the maniac was in the big blind. But we open at 25, get called in two spots. The flop comes ace, ace, 10, two hearts.
Oof, gross. And you have the king of hearts?
No, we have two black kings.
Okay.
So flop comes ace, ace, 10. We have two black kings. The maniac checks. We down bet to 25 into 75 because we're going to have a lot of aces under the gun. The tight guy thinks he calls pretty quickly, and then the maniac calls.
Okay.
So now we get a very, very, very interesting turn card. We get the ace of clubs. Ooh. So now the board is ace of diamonds, ace of hearts, 10 of hearts, ace of clubs.
Okay.
The turn checks all the way through. Maniac checks. I check.
Yeah, I check 100% range there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I would do with all of my hands and also all my aces.
Right.
Yes.
So the turn checks through. The river comes a total blank, like the five of diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
So the maniac checks. There's like 150 in the middle now.
Okay.
So the maniac checks. We bet 75 into 150.
Okay.
The tight guy tanks forever. And then
he weird place to just tank forever.
He tanks forever. And then he calls the 75. And then the maniac makes it 375.
Ooh.
By this point, we have about, we've got about 800-ish, 850 left, something like that in our stack. What do you do in that spot?
Do you just
throw up in your mouth and call?
I think I'm leaning towards throwing up in my mouth and calling.
Yeah.
So the hard part about it is we have the tight guy still behind us. That might have, he might have just Hollywooded me pretty hard.
But he just called.
Yeah, that guy behind you, which is kind of weird. Yeah, but what's he?
But he knows.
But
he knows the maniac
calling?
Is still in.
I mean that would be a top level play to call with the nuts to try to get another guy to call behind you.
Sure, that's fair. That's a good point.
For $75, and to think that if I call here, maybe this guy's going to put a squeeze on is even more. Next level. That's a hardcore.
You're right.
I mean, and maybe that's the best way to go because if he raises, everybody just folds.
Right. And that's what I told myself on the hand. When he was tanking forever, I said, if this guy raises, I'm putting these two kings in the muck. And then I said,
right.
If the other guy raises, I'm at least going to call. We might just get it in.
I'm never getting it in.
So the thing about the maniac, I played with him enough. He does that with all of his hands. He does that with pocket nines in that spot. He does that with the 10.
But there's no reason to come over the top.
That's fair.
Because he even a maniac
the only thing that
is
going to
fold two nines there if you come over
anything.
The top.
If you go all in, the only thing he's going to do is either fold or you're only going to get called by somebody that can beat you.
Absolutely.
So I agree with that. But I also,
and then call.
That's basically what happened.
Throw up a little bit and call, and the guy shows up with an ace, right?
Ace tray offsuit.
Juicy.
Ace tray offsuit. He's got four aces. The other guy snap folded his hand, said he had two jacks, is what he tanked so hard about.
Yeah.
Which is probably
sounds about right.
Exactly the best hand he could have in that spot. I even think he probably folds a 10 pretty quickly, but he said he had two jacks when he called the 75. The maniac shows ace tray offsuit.
Story checks out for the tight guy perfectly.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Story checks out for the tight guy.
He didn't play it bad.
No, I think we actually made a perfect bet size to get that extra 75 in there.
Yeah.
I think if we go 100, he might fold, you know? Mm-hmm. So he thinks and thinks and thinks about it, calls a 75. Maniac makes it 375. We just call. Tight guy snap folds. Maniac scoops a big one.
Laughs in your face.
Laughs in my face.
You like it now.
About 30 minutes later, he's broke. He's out of the game.
Yeah.
It was about a $1,200 pot.
Did you bust him? Did you get your chips back?
I got some of them back, but I didn't get the full amount back. But I'm interested to hear what you guys think in the chat. You guys called? You guys fold? Can you ever fold? The more I think about it, I'm like, man, I should have folded. But
I mean, absolutely, you can fold.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but I feel like, again, I think the only time that you're folding is if you're concerned about that guy in the middle. Because, again, with the maniac, so like you're saying, if it's a tight player the way that the action goes down, then you can find a fold. But I feel like with the maniac who's making that raise, he's raising into two players.
Sure.
One guy who, so he's raising into two players. So the only thing to consider there is he trying to squeeze? Like, maybe, but.
Right. But, that's a really good point.
But it's tough to, it's going to be tough to squeeze if you have one guy who's been check calling the entire way that's in the middle.
Yeah.
You have to be concerned that he has maybe like what you have, two kings, and just absolutely can't fold. Yeah. So I think that.
But you also kind of think, you know,
fold, but man,
the people that play like that are very, you know, maniac style players, they are still somewhat perceptive, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And, they know, and they're not dumb. They know.
Right. And he's probably thinking, you know, the guy on your left, the tighter good player, he thought for a long time and he called, so he cannot have an ace.
Fair.
So 100% he will have to fold to a raise.
Right.
100% he's folding to every raise. So now he just has to make sure you don't have an ace either. You know, what are the odds you have an ace or a big pair? You know what I mean? You're more likely to have jacks, kings, queens.
Mm-hmm. The 10.
The 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even two 10s than you are an ace, right?
Yeah.
There's more combos of that.
And this guy plays like that all the time. I see him make those moves all the time.
So it would be not necessarily a bad play for somebody. But he did call the 75, right?
Yes.
He calls the 75 on the flop, so he has to have something.
25 on the flop.
He calls the 25 on the flop, so he has to have some semblance of a hand, either a heart draw or a pair,
right,
or something to continue with. He's not just going to continue with air into two people with two aces on the board, even as a maniac.
Yeah.
That's fair. He got all the chips.
So maybe you can't call. I mean, there's definitely a case to fold there, but I would have done whatever I call.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I think the bet sizing that he made was so good that you're kind of stuck calling.
Yeah, for sure.
If he makes it 475, I think it's easier for you to fold.
But what if he stuffs it there?
So gross. I don't know. I thought about that too.
If he stuffs it, I call.
Gross. Yeah. Gross.
You know, if he stuffs it, I'm all right, I call.
Drop your responses in the chat.
Drop them in the chat. All right, we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll talk all things promotions and put a wrap on the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, wrapping up the program. All right, as we mentioned earlier, the World Poker Tour has been postponed until further notice, but we do have some cool tournaments for you guys and you tournament players that want to get out there. So this Saturday, there is a $400 single-day event. Next Saturday, there is a $600 single-day event. And the following Saturday will be a $1,500 buy-in event where they will play down and live stream the final table on that Sunday, which I believe is the 28th and the 29th. So put those on your calendar for sure. Lots and lots of cash high hands going on at both locations. In fact, today until midnight over in Orange Park, $400 every 30 minutes. In Jacksonville, also $400 every 30 minutes. Anywhere between $200 and $500 high hands all weekend long, all week long, in fact. So make sure you check the details on the calendar for that. You can get all that information at bestbetjacks.com. Also, don't forget, immediately following the show, there is a 2-5 no-limit hold'em cash game that will be live-streamed over in Jacksonville, so you can head over and check that out. Or, of course, you can watch it on Twitch. You can find it on Facebook or any other social media platform that you like. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Don't go anywhere. End of the Night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin the Great, and Country, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.